How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello friends, bad news, it's another international break, pointless, dull, complete waste of time, soporific, no one cares about it, let's end international football. Good news, we've brought you something a little bit special to keep you entertained during this pointless international break, and that friends is a trip to see friend of the show, big Fabio Wardley, Suffolk's own Fabio Wardley, only now the number one contender, the undisputed heavyweight titles currently held by Oleksandr Usyk and the second ranked heavyweight walking this planet. Fab is now a very, very big deal. He's a tremendous story, obviously, since beating Joseph Parker. He continues to upset the odds and now he is one win away from being the undisputed heavyweight champion. That happens once in a blue moon and that man could be from Suffolk. If they make the fight, if it comes to pass, and if he can find a way of beating the unbelievably good top five potentially all time Oleksandr Usyk. I know many of you listen to this pod are boxing fans, and I also appreciate that many of you listen to it aren't boxing fans. And if that's you, I would implore you, just purely from the point of view of a good story, Fabio Wardley is, I would argue, the best story in sport, and he's one of our own. He has solid links to Ipswich Town, as you know. He's come from nowhere. The boxing neverland, really. The kind of wilderness. No amateur pedigree. Four white-collar fights. Turns pro. Knocks everyone out. And now, unbelievably, having been the underdog in pretty much every fight for the past few, he's on the verge of doing something which very few people have ever done in boxing. So went down to his gym, Suffolk Punch in Martlesham with Rossi. Had a good chat with him. Talked about Joseph Parker fight, just how he came through that, what is he made of essentially, because he's built with something very different, is Fab. And then obviously we talked about Oleksandr Usyk and various other bits. So here you go, just to keep you entertained while the international football goes on, and obviously no one watches it, and before Town come back with a big run of games as we build up to Christmas. Here's me and Fabio Wardley down the gym. Enjoy.
Okay, here we are then. Mark Keith back at the Suffolk Punch Gym with Fabio Wardley, now the number one contender for the undisputed heavyweight championship titles, second best heavyweight on the planet. How does that sound?
Yeah, it all sounds pretty good. Doesn't necessarily sound real or anything, but yeah, it's good. Everything's gone pretty well over the last week or so.
Oh, mate, it really has. I've got loads of questions for you, but in terms of since the fight, since the win, getting that win in the style he did again in another great fight, how has life changed for you? Because I've seen you kind of all over shows in America. I'd assume you've got a lot more attention from people. What's it been like?
Yeah, definitely. There's been a quite a big increase in terms of attention, media, people wanting to talk to you now. And like, one, because obviously the fight and how it was and how it went, the back and forth and everything. But obviously my story, where I've come from, and obviously what's upcoming next for me as well. So there's been a lot of different kind of people have wanted to cover with me. So yeah, it's been a little bit full on. Aside from all like the fight and everything itself, following that is then all the media stuff that comes after.
What's the fight like for you? Because we talked before the fight, obviously, what kind of fight you were expecting. Did it go the way you thought it would?
Yeah, to be honest, for the most part, it did. I never expected to have it all my own way. There was good back and forth. There was rounds where I was doing well. There was rounds where he was doing well. There was adjustments that needed to be made. He had some really good attributes. His jab, double jab, left hook. I think certain things he was doing, which we had to kind of work on in the moment and figure out a bit. But overall, it all went to plan, really. We knew the areas where I could get him. We knew the areas where I'd be kind of stronger, a bit better, my attributes would work out better for me, and we exploited them pretty well.
I've got a few questions for you about the fight and the ending. I'm not going to go over the ending too much, but casual boxing fans, Fab, my mum, for example, whenever you're fighting, she messaged me saying, is he going to win? And then she messaged me, oh, he's won again. And I kind of try, she says, what's different about him? And I said, he's just made of something else. Like, you're made of something different. And I think it was the 10th round where Parker landed some shots, and you looked like you were in trouble. And you kind of stepped back and kind of nodded at him and then went at him. Now, in boxing, clearly, when someone shows out like that, you tend to think, oh, they're hurt. But for you, it seems like almost like a switch goes and you're like, right, we're having it. What goes through your mind in a moment like that?
Yeah, it was... I guess that's like the other side to me. The less kind of, not scripted, but the one that's kind of deviates from the plan, from everything we've worked on and all the things we should be doing and going about things in the right place. That's maybe the other side to me that goes, all right, you know what? If you want to have a scrap, let's have a scrap then. We can have it out and let's really see what you're made of. If you want to have a go at it, I'll stand here with you and trade out and we'll see who goes down first.
Is that instinctive? Like, in the moment, are you thinking about anything? Or are you literally just going, right, this is it, we're going?
Yeah, it's more of like, okay, fine. Cool, all right, if that's what you want to do, that's what we're going to do, I'll show you kind of thing.
Yeah, incredible stuff. And then the ending obviously came. I thought it was a good stoppage. I know some people have got some beef with it, but you were pinging him around the ring before that. No one wants to see him get hurt. And then you fall to the floor and Rob comes in and he's just been telling us he'd been practicing jumping in to make sure he was here first. So, first of all, what was going through your head and what did Rob say to you when he jumped on top of you?
I was like... obviously thinking about, because all the way in the build-up I wasn't allowing myself to think about what came after. And then again getting the win, the fight gets called, and in that moment I was like, I've done it. Like, I would then in that moment I allowed myself to go, you know what's next, like, you know what you've just got, you know what you've just got the chance to do. And I think he jumped on top of me and he said, do you know what you've just done? He kind of had the same sentiment in his head. He was like, do you know what you've just done? Do you know what you've just done? So I guess we were kind of on the same wavelength there.
Clearly, I mean, you know what you've just done. Does that register, though, as the person who's doing it? Because people like me talk about great stories and narratives, and this is an amazing story. But you're the guy in the ring doing it. Does that kind of click with you that I've done stuff that people didn't think I could do and has not really been done before?
Yeah, in spaces and in moments. Again, it's a funny one for me. It's not one I like to sit there and mull over and go, oh, look how great I am, I've done all these great things that other people haven't been able to do or whichever else. But there is a level of it that you need to allow yourself them opportunities, them moments to go, actually, like, give yourself a little pat on the back and go, actually, you know what, you're doing pretty well, things are going pretty well for you, you've stuck at it, and adversity, things have gone wrong and it's not gone your way, and through however long everyone's bet against you, but yeah, credit to you, you keep coming out on top.
Where do you get your confidence from, Fab? Because that's like another key attribute for you. You believe in yourself so much. You don't just say it, you clearly do believe in yourself. And on paper, you've got no right to do that against someone like Joseph Parker, given the experience and that. Where does that kind of level of self-belief come from?
It comes from a bunch of areas. It comes from my team. They have an immense amount of faith, belief, confidence in me. Friends, family, same thing. They have huge motivators for me as well. But also just in the work that I've done, I think that's where the confidence comes from, is that I know I've not skipped a session, I know I've put the work in, I know I've done the reps, I know I've trained, I know I've studied, I know I've done it all, so why would I not win? If I've done everything I should do, I should come out on top. So I just have confidence and belief in, as long as I stick to the plan and do everything you should do and don't slack off. Not that the win's ever guaranteed, but it's definitely more likely.
Just one more on the fight itself. I thought you boxed really well. Do you think that's kind of been overlooked? Because obviously you're outboxed against Tony. You felt like you had a bit of point to prove. I did still think you were probably losing the fight, but you were boxing really well. The left hand, the jab was fantastic. Right hand behind it, and then that uppercut as well was money. So you must have been pleased with that improvement for the boxing side of things.
Yeah, again, there was some good improvements boxing-wise that we made, some good adjustments. Offensively and defensively as well, on both sides, that we, again, like I said in the build-up, like, I took from the Hooney fight of, like, okay, you did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, let's make some adjustments, let's change them, and let's do this. But yeah, I think a lot of it got overshadowed, one, because of the knockout, and two, because of then the stoppage of kind of the controversy around it and things. So it kind of got missed, because again, like you said as well, a lot of people had Joe ahead on the cards and things, so it was just another one of, oh, Fab's just pulled it out of the bag kind of thing.
Yeah, I had you 6-4 down, I thought it was close. In terms of then what comes next, Usyk, as you said on the mic afterwards. Now, we talked about this beforehand, now it's very much a possibility. I've seen Frank saying that negotiations have started. Is that something you can confirm? Have you started to move towards that?
It's not something I can confirm because I haven't spoken to Frank.
Okay.
But dude, I've left it to him, really. I said to him afterwards, I said, look, you do your thing. I said, we'll catch up in a week or two, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when some time's passed, because these early doors, especially even if someone like Frank says our negotiations have started, then it's the most broadest of broad conversations. Nothing's even close to being nailed. So for me, I was like, I've done my bit, I've done my job. That's your side. That's up to you. I don't need to be calling you every day for an update. So I haven't. So I said to him, look, I'll give you a few weeks, I'll give you some time, we'll catch up and we'll figure some things out then and see where we land.
Okay, but you're, as I say, you are the number one contender. In a perfect world, where and when would that fight be? We've had some chats. I mean, I know Scully asked you about Portman Road, but realistically, that's nowhere near big enough. Unless you can persuade Mark to stick 40,000 on before whenever it's going to be. Yeah. So are we looking at Wembley? Is that going to be, would that be the dream destination?
I don't know, to be honest. I'd quite like to do something different. And I mean different in the sense of, don't get me wrong, Wembley is very different. Mm. I'd like to do something in America, I think.
Okay.
Maybe Vegas, maybe MSG, something like that. Like I've done the UK, I've done a stadium in the UK, I've done the O2, I've done Riyadh. I'd like to do something a bit different and go to America, but ultimately, it's not up to me. Mm. It's up to the big man. It's up to Usyk himself. So, look, if he wants to do it at Wembley, if he wants to do it somewhere closer to his homeland or whichever else, it's going to be all up to him, really. So, yeah, we'll see.
Maybe a fight in the home of, but you've not done Vegas before, have you? So that'd be a new one to tick off against one of the greatest fighters of all time. Alexander Usyk, then, what do you think about him as an opponent? Because in theory, he's the guy you're going to fight next. We know he's done what he's done in the sport. What do you make of him as a fighter?
Yeah, look, he is everything everyone says and more. A generational great, generational talent, the best boxer on the planet currently. So, yeah, one hell of a task. Don't get me wrong, but I think I've got attributes that can get me good moments in the fight, and it's just about capitalising on them. But make no mistake, it's a very tall task. It's a very big ask, but no one's been able to get through it as of yet. And my kind of thing is, okay, well, the fighters he's faced previously have been pretty conventional in a sense in terms of how they box and how they do things and whichever else. So maybe the one thing to throw off kind of the ultimate boxer is someone who's a bit unconventional, who's a bit different, who doesn't move to the same kind of rhythm. So maybe, we'll see.
And also, unusually, you know him. You obviously sparred with him and that kind of stuff. What kind of memories do you have of those sessions with him?
Yeah, him just pinging me all around the place, to be honest. I was very early in my career. I was maybe 2-3 fights in, something like that. I think it was about 6-7 years ago. So I was brand new. It was the first time I'd gone away for a sparring camp. And don't get me wrong, he's gotten in much better since as well. But he was still a great fighter back then as well. I just remember just getting punched up a lot, to be honest.
I'm going to say something to you now. I wouldn't have said to you 2 weeks ago, I think you can beat Alexander Usyk.
Okay.
And I think there's two keys. Clearly the power you've got, as you've already said, the kind of an orthodox way that you move and throw punches. But I think a lot of people who fight Usyk are kind of beaten almost before the fight. And if they're not beaten before the fight, they're beaten mentally in the fight with the way he pressures them. But we know from you won't give up. You'll be there until, you know, the last punch is thrown. And you only need one. So I can see you doing the unthinkable, you know, kind of coming through the fire and stopping him late. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. Look, it's there, it's on the table, it's definitely doable, like you say. I think I said in the ring after the fight, like if it does come off, hopefully, whichever else, one way or another, Alexander Usyk will come out of that knowing he's been in a fight. There's no way it's going to be an easy ride. He's going to know he's been in a scrap. And that's one thing I do bring is that pressure and that power. So those two things together can be a recipe for disaster for him.
I honestly can't wait to see it. If he doesn't take the fight, and clearly boxing's boxing and it's not as simple as you've won this fight and now you fight him. If he doesn't take the fight, though, you get the title, right? Mm-hmm. So you get it kind of sent to you and then you can defend it.
Yeah, so I'd be elevated to full world champion. So I'd get the belt, it'd be sent to me, and then I'd be able to defend it. So then I'd have a world title defence against, I don't know, someone of my choosing.
Would Joseph Parker be in that kind of line of thinking? Because obviously there's been talk about potential rematch if the Usyk fight doesn't happen. Was that something you'd entertain?
Yeah, potentially. I think there would be interest in that based off the first fight. It was a really good fight. Everyone really enjoyed it. So there would be interest. There's other names. There's other people who are well-ranked who could be possibilities as well. So we'll kind of look across the board and see what we think fits best.
Just in the nature of the fights you were in as well, Fab, I heard people talking about you being the heavyweight Arturo Gatti and you're kind of the next kind of Nigel Benn, a heavyweight version of Nigel Benn. You've been in some all-time classic fights already. I mean, two or three of the best heavyweight fights you'll ever see. Is that important to you at all? That kind of, not only do you win these fights, you get the knockouts, but you're also in these fights that people will be watching years from now.
Yeah, it's one of the most important things to me. It was something I very much wanted. As I started my career, I wanted to be known as an entertaining boxer, not just he wins or whichever else. I always wanted like people either to see my name attached to a fight, see my name on a poster, and be like, "That's going to be a good fight. He's involved. You know what he does. You know what he's about." And people get excited, and I wanted those moments where I'm fighting whatever situation, something dramatic, and people then think back and remember like, "Oh, I was there for that."
Yeah.
Like people will think to the Fraser 1 fight or the Fraser 2 fight like, and think, I was there, I saw the knockout or I saw the canvas and all the blood and it was like a crazy atmosphere moment and things, and those are memories that will stick with people. So yeah, being memorable and being almost a fan favourite in that sense is something that's very big for me.
Yeah, well, I'd certainly say you're that. Talk to me about your move into management. Because you've taken, I mean, obviously you've come through where people kind of took risks and took you on and took you under their wing, and now you're going to do the same for a young lad from Ipswich. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, Isaiah, he's a young lad out of this gym, white collar boy like me, but he has done some ABAs as well because we were trying to get him to do a bit of both. Management, very broadly, I haven't got my license, I'm not a manager, I'm just going to be shoulder to shoulder with him, more like probably an advisor. Something like that. Just helping him along the way, trying to get him opportunities where I can and help him out, and just want to see him do well. That's all. Like, help him, give him advice, not coach him. He's going to train with Rob, my coach as well, but obviously add input, add advice, and just be there for him. The same way Dill was there for me. Obviously, a bit of a different capacity. Dill was actually my manager, but in this situation, I just want to see him do well. I just want to be there for him, just want to help him kick on.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for him. One more question then, Fab. What does the rest of the year look like for you now? Because obviously you're out of camp, you've just become a dad. What's normal life like for Fabio Wardley? Do you ever, I mean, clearly you have to keep training, but not the same level of intensity. So do you allow yourself to have like a nice Christmas, that kind of thing?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it goes back to normal life for me. It just goes back to like nappy changes, 4 a.m. feeds, things like that, and then just catching up with friends because I've been away for 12, 13, 14 weeks, whatever else. Not been able to see people, just been focused on training. So yeah, it's catching up with family, friends, and just trying to live a normal life for the next kind of 8-9 weeks. Intermittently, in and out of the gym, still training, ticking over, staying in somewhat shape, not trying to blow up too much, but yeah, just enjoying a bit of downtime.
Superb. You've certainly earned it. When might we see then the Usyk fight in terms of timing? Summer's been talked about. I've also heard spring talked about. If you had your way, when would it be?
Yeah, somewhere in the middle, April, May, ideally, something like that. Good bit of time, good bit of training, camp, just get straight into things at the beginning of the year would be ideal for me, but again, he's the big man, it's up to him.
Fab, thanks so much for, again, giving us your time. I know you have many, many other people who want to talk to you. It's always appreciated that you make time for us. And congratulations again. It was extraordinary, mate. It was fantastic to watch. So well
done.
Thank
you. Appreciate it, mate.
Thank you, mate.
is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.